send it away. Right. Are we right now? Presentable. Right, let's start again. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that's our base word for today. Alright. When I first volunteered for this session, I thought, oh goody, because I was thinking of Revelation. And I thought, well, I know quite a bit about Revelation, and it's something that I like the subject of. But then I realised it wasn't really about Revelation, it was about heaven. And then I realised I didn't know a right lot about heaven, would you believe? So I had to start doing some research on it. And for the past couple of weeks I have been doing. And I discovered there's quite a lot in the Bible about heaven. I didn't think there was that much at first. I'll just read you an epitaph. Here lies a poor woman who was always tired. She lived in a house where help wasn't hired. Her last words on earth were, Dear friend, I am going to where there's no cooking or washing or sewing, for everything there is to my wishes. For where they don't eat, there's no washing of dishes. I'll be where loud anthems will always be ringing, but having no voice, I'll be quit of the singing. Don't mourn for me now, don't mourn for me never. I am going to do nothing forever and ever. Well, I'm sorry, but that's not quite how it's going to be. We're not going to do nothing forever and ever. A few weeks ago, Isabel came to our house and she sat down like that and said, I'm bored. And boredom is something that children frequently have, and sometimes we experience boredom. It's where there's nothing to do next. We can't think of anything else to do. There's nothing on our minds to do, so we're bored. Well, some of us, and some people I've known or have expressed the view that heaven's going to be boring. That heaven is going to be a place where we just play our harps, sit on clouds for a few thousand years, and then re-sing the same hymn all over again. And that does sound boring, doesn't it? So I'm just going to ask Derek for a minute to come up and share with us what he thinks about heaven. Thanks, Derek.
Paul asked me to do this, he said to keep it to a minute, so I'll try my best. I remember a discussion I had with Clifford about heaven, and we were talking about what heaven would be like. And he said, well, the concept of heaven really excites me, I'm really looking forward to going to heaven. And then he said, it's a shame you have to go through death first. And I think that's what people are scared of. That's the faces that you see sometimes. So we're just not quite sure about that bit, but we know that heaven's going to come after it. The thing that excites me, John 14:3, it says, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself. And I find it hard not to get excited about a place that's going to be prepared for me. It's going to be my place, my heaven, because God knows me completely. So the heaven he'll prepare for me will be for me. And I find that really exciting. There's a joke told about someone that went to heaven. And when they got there, Peter was at the gate, says he's got to be. And he looked at the credentials and he said, yeah, you can come in. And he went into heaven and they were showing him round. And he said, this is heaven, this is where the toilets are, although you don't need toilets. And this is where such a place is. And then right at the back of heaven, there was a big brick wall, massive tall brick wall that nobody could dream of climbing over. And on the other side of it, this person could hear voices singing and people talking and all sorts of things. And he said to Peter, why is there a wall in heaven? Don't make any sense for there to be a wall in heaven. And Peter said, oh, well, actually, on the other side of the wall, that's where the independent Methodists are. Because they think they're the only ones here. And that's not my vision of heaven at all. Because we're not the only ones there. Revelation, you mentioned. I was looking and it says, there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. It's a place that we're going to live together, and it'll be a place of love, and it'll be a place to know people that we've known before, and it's going to be a place where God is. And that excites me, because there's a lot of this world where there's places that God clearly isn't. But heaven, God will be everywhere in everything that we do. So that's my picture of heaven. Paul thought it involved a golf course, but I doubt very much there'll be a golf course. And someone once said to me, heaven for you must be a place where you get a hole in one at every single hole. And I can't think of anything more boring, because it just gets so predictable. So that's my version of heaven. Thanks, Paul.
Well, there is a hymn about that golf course in heaven. It's called There Is a Green Hill Far Away. When Jesus said about going away to prepare a place for us, it was a picture of the bridegroom who, being betrothed to his future wife, goes away for a year, typically in the Middle East. That's what happens. And the bride in the Middle East goes to live with his parents and his family. So it's a start of a new life. And the bridegroom prepares a place in their parents' house. Typically they extend the house. So he'd be building the extension for his bride. And that's the picture we have of what Jesus is doing right now. He's preparing a place for us so that when he returns again to collect his bride, that the place is ready. Going back to the boredom issue, why won't heaven be so boring? It won't be boring, one, because God is there. And God is not boring. He lives there, you see. In the Bible it talks about the heavens being where God lives. And the Apostle Paul had a trip to the third heaven, where God is. And he wasn't allowed to speak of what he saw there. So, it's strange to talk about a place that no one has really come back from. But that's where we're going, to a place where lots of people before us have been, but nobody has yet come back from. And maybe that film might give us a glimpse, an idea, but we must realise that the scriptures are what we have to base our views of heaven on. So God is not boring. He created the world, he created everything that lives in it. He created the birds, the fish in the sea, the hills, green ones, man-made ones, but God created those things, so how can he be boring to be able to create that? He created us and we have different taste buds, and that's amazing in itself, that we can taste different flavours. We also have different senses for seeing, for hearing. Well, in my case, not so good. But generally. Psalm 16:11 says, "You have made known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Does that sound like a boring God to you? I don't think so. So I'm going to give you five reasons why heaven isn't boring, quite the opposite. So the first one is that God is there and he's not boring. The second is that we'll be there and we will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed." So, if you're boring down here, you won't be when you get up there. So there's hope for all of us, for most of us. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, in transforming our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." So that's also good news for most of us. Well, for all of us actually, that we'll have a body that's completely different than the one we have now. So, God isn't boring. We won't be boring. And others will be there, and they won't be boring. We read in Hebrews, "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect." So those that are now are the Old Testament prophets and saints, angels, and those just men who have been made righteous, been made perfect. And that includes people who have gone before us, thinking especially of Clifford more recently, who has gone before us, and he will be there as well. And it's as if when we see him again, it will be like the day after, because in eternity, time is so totally different. It's like the same minute that he went up there that we'll be there rejoicing with him. The fourth reason, and this is one that's quite interesting as well, is that heaven won't be boring because your work won't be boring. And you might think, work? Have we not been given the time off for the rest of eternity? Well, I'm sorry, but not quite. But the good news is, it won't be like the kind of work we do down here, where we come home and we're exhausted and worn out and tired. And work down here is unhealthy for us. In some industries you can die, and some people have. Some industries are unhealthy, work with dangerous chemicals, and some industries involve lifting heavy loads, which cause back problems, and so on. But our work won't be boring. It will be different. In the Garden of Eden, when man fell, before we fell, we worked in the garden. Our jobs were gardeners, basically. Then we read in Genesis how our work is now under a curse. By the sweat of your brow you will toil. And for women who know the pain of childbirth. And this week in our family, one of us has witnessed the pain of childbirth, and how a few days before Liz delivered her baby, she was in so much pain, and I thought, I'm glad I'm a man. But I didn't realise it was so painful. I thought, something and nothing, but what's all the fuss about? But I witnessed it there first hand, and I thought, oh dear, not for me. I'd rather work. So how do I know there is work in heaven? Well, Revelation 7 verse 15 says, therefore they are before, time for some water, before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. So they serve him day and night. Service is like work, isn't it? The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. The time for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants, the prophets. That's in Revelation 11, verse 18. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. But it won't be the kind of work that we experience now. It will be totally different, totally light, and we won't be exhausted. Because we'll still be in his presence, and in his presence there is, as we already know, fullness of joy. Heaven won't be boring. One, because God is there, and God isn't boring. Two, because we'll be there, and we definitely won't be boring. And three, because, I forgot my point, others will be there. And four, because our work won't be boring. And heaven won't be boring because we have been longing for it. Romans 8 verse 22 says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. So the whole of creation is growing, the whole of creation and us inwardly long for that place where heaven, to be in heaven. was thinking about Paradise Lost, the poem that Milton wrote. And in a way, we have, in some ways, lost our sense of what heaven is about. And I was in Waterstones yesterday, looking at books, like you do, and there's whole shelves and of books. There were quite a bit on hell, but only about two books on heaven. And I read an article, and that said there was something like 87 books, articles written on hell, and only two or three on heaven. And that's amazing, I find, isn't it? And I think we should think about more about heaven, because that's where we're heading. In heaven, we know that there is going to be a reward system. Similar to Earth, apparently at the moment there are about 40 different award ceremonies, Oscars, Grammys, and we'll be, and one of the reasons why Christianity advanced in its early days was the belief in future rewards and future punishments. I tell you the truth, Jesus said in Mark chapter 10. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age and in the age to come, eternal life. And that's something to look forward to, that we're going to be rewarded. Ephesians 6 verse 8 says, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether slave or free. In 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11, says, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation, using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burnt up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. We have to be careful of our work and what we build it on. It seems that God is looking for works of quality. And spiritually, we have to build on the foundation of Jesus. In the 16th century, there was an English Puritan called James Baxter. When he was 35, he became very ill. He thought he was going to die, and he decided to meditate and write about heaven. And he wrote a book called The Saint's Eternal Rest. And in this book, it talks about spending time thinking about heaven. And I thought that would be a good challenge for us in our own walk with God, to spend maybe half an hour a week. It's up to you, really. But that's a challenge, to think about heaven, to look up a scripture regarding heaven, and just meditate on it and think about it. I forgot to mention that as part of our work we will have a job of reigning. We will have authority. Over what, I'm not quite sure yet. But that is part of our role in heaven. So it's good to think about heaven because it changes our focus from what we do on the earth, which is preparation in a way for what we're going to be doing in heaven. So let's just pray for a few moments, shall we, and let's just ask the Lord to help us to think about heaven and to think about him and what we're going to be doing. Amen. Dear Lord, each one of you, of us, longs for the day when you return to earth, when you return and claim your bride. We are thrilled, delighted that you have prepared a place for us. And Lord, we ask that our hearts might be turned to think towards heavenly thoughts rather than the things of the earth. We ask you to help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.